Me? Yeah, next verse. Let's go for that. Okay. So, and now I have told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may what? Can you look at this verse? This is a beautiful, beautiful uniqueness about Jesus and our life. I want you to listen to this. And now I have told you before. Before. That when it does, that's before, that does come to pass, you may believe. There is a place in our Christian life that we live right now. But God is not thinking that we should just live and we don't have some inkling of tomorrow. We should not be living as if we're just devoid of tomorrow. Of course, we will make plans for tomorrow. But because our God is a God who knows tomorrow, who works with tomorrow, he can make some tomorrow available to us, either consciously or unconsciously. He can help us to do certain things that will make our tomorrow better. Or even he can just give us a glimpse of tomorrow, not totality of it, to help us. There's nothing as beautiful as arriving in the future and say, aha. Are you hearing me? And say, oh ho, because you have gotten ready for it. You have been able to be helped by God, sort out the future. Let's go to John 16. I will say this in another way. John 16. Maybe to be clearer now. John 16. Look at verse 12. Okay, are we there? I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Let's keep reading. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, what will he do? He will guide you into what? All truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But can you read the next set of words along with me? Let's go. Okay. Next set of words. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And what is the next? He will tell you things to come. Oh, that's so much beauty in that. That you will not just stumble into tomorrow, into the future, into things that will happen to you without you having some ideas. Praise God. Praise God. Things to come that are ahead of us. I wouldn't have been an effective pastor if I don't have this access. Okay, like this afternoon, something happened that we were given an information. And suddenly, I grabbed my wife's hand and I said, let us pray. And when we finished praying, I said to her, probably this is what is happening. And when we finished, I forgot about the matter. When we were coming to church now, she told me on the phone, they said, actually, that's what is happening. Now, that's not on this continent. It's somewhere else. There's nothing as beautiful as a Christian who is aware of things to come and then prepare or plan adequately for it. The beauty of our Christianity, if you look at our culture, they want to know about tomorrow. That's why people get up and check their dreams, looking for inklings about what is going to happen. But we should not be just living on dreams alone. The Lord Jesus wants to be with us and then help us. He will tell you things to come about life, about children, about future, about family, about career. You shouldn't just be taking steps like the rest of the world who are devoid of light. There's something about light. When you have light, it shows where you are and gives you some ideas of where you are going to next. That's why we have torchlight. When you take torchlight like that, it will cast light for your feet, but also a little bit ahead. It's not going to give everything ahead, but at least you'll be able to see at least to a point where you can follow. Am I right? So as Christians, we should be praying and seeking God to show us tomorrow. For instance, if I know that tomorrow my gas will finish, I'll buy some gas today. Are you hearing me? If tomorrow I came to know that there'll be some fight in my family. Know what to do. Let me give you another one. You see, I face a scenario. Just this afternoon, I got another call. Not a call, audio message. And there's some trouble. Now, they know me. These people, they knew me before that I was a tough guy. I hope you're listening. Are you here? I'm getting very practical now. Are you here? You know, they knew that I was a tough guy. I won't take nonsense. And then, so they were trying to, things just went out of hands. And they were trying to, you know. So I said, listen to this. That moment, I just knew what to do. I just knew what to do. So I called the other person outside the country. Pastor, you meet just today, another one outside the country. I said, hey, don't worry about that. I'll take care of it. I just knew that I will apologize to the other person to make things clearer. So I took my phone. I opened my phone. I said, hey, I should have told you this ahead, but it has happened already. So please bear with me. Forgive me. I'm the one who caused this trouble. So I stopped that, and I was waiting for a response. And then the person I called, and then we started talking about almost 20 minutes. And we sorted the matter out, and I clarified, put things together. I should be outside the country again. That's not there. So we got that through. You, Pastor, you do all that. I thought that you just stay in the presence of God. Presence of God, that's where you find all the troubles. You know, so it makes life beautiful. You're not by yourself alone. Praise God. What do I say? You're not by yourself alone. Okay. But not by yourself alone. So, look at that. It will tell you things to come. It will get you ready. Remember Samuel in the Bible? Remember Samuel? Samuel was a prophet, and Saul was looking for his father's donkey. Remember that story? And then he got to start looking. For 3 days, he couldn't find the donkey. So they said, let's go to a prophet next door. Saul said, I didn't have any money. So the servant said, oh, I have some money. We'll just be able to give some gifts to the prophet. Now, listen, I hope you are here. So when they got to the house of Samuel, Samuel said, oh, wait, they have found the donkey already. And your father is no longer thinking about donkeys, thinking about you. Isn't that so good? There was no cell phone to do anything. And then suddenly, listen to this. Suddenly, he said, you're going to be with me tonight. The Lord told him the day before that Saul was coming and he'll be the next king of Israel. And that, so Samuel prepared meat. He got this big meat for him and he said, eat. Then somebody said, I'm not a Samuel. But now we have all been given the Holy Spirit and we should be attempting to have what is coming before they come. Now, provided, listen to me, let me offer a disclaimer. God won't tell you everything about tomorrow. Pastor, why shouldn't he tell me everything about tomorrow? Let me make you laugh. Now, this man that was asking that, Lord, I want to know how much these shares will worth in maybe 20, 30, 40 years' time. So he said, the Lord said, please, Lord, I want to know so that I can know how to invest. So it's a story. They said he was praying and then he had a vision of the newspaper of that shares in about how many years' time. And he saw the price of the newspaper of the stock of the shares. Big money. As he looked at the other side, he saw his obituary. You know, I mean, you want to see everything. Okay, let's show you everything. So when you see the number of shares you're going to have multiplied, then you're going to be dead by that time. So we should not be trying to the future, like, I want to know everything going on. I want to know everything going on. But we must also have faith enough to know that when we get to tomorrow without him telling us, we can cope with that tomorrow. I'm giving us some balance here. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Lord showing us things to come before they come so that we can believe. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, that's Jesus to his disciples, let us do what? Cross over to the other side. Are we here? Are we here? Let us do what? Cross over to the other side. And what happened next? Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Are you following? What did he say we should do? Tell us what? Cross over to where? Other side. But then, let's go back. Next verse. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat him to the boat so that it was already filling. Next verse. And but it was in the stand, asleep on the pillow, and they awoke and said, "Teacher, don't you care? We're perishing." It was really bad. Now, did he tell them about the storm? Did he tell them about the storm? No, he didn't tell them. But he told them that they are going to the other side, right? But they're almost sinking. So when he woke up, what did he say to them? He rose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace be still." The wind ceased. There was a great calm. Next verse, and said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So what I'm saying to you in essence is this. The Lord may not show you the storm tomorrow because he has given you enough faith to handle it. So some things you don't know about, the Lord has, one way or the other, get you ready. Am I making some sense? Am I making some sense? So sometimes when the Lord has not told us about something, when we get in there, we should take experience that we have already and sort out the problems. So penetrate. Okay, all right. So, but you must always be ready. Back to John 14, verse 29. Let's read it again. 14:29. "And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. It will also enhance your faith to have some idea from the Lord before something happens. And when it now happens, you just, oh yeah, and like students, you go for exam, you just feel like reading something before you go for that exam. And you enter the exam or and you just see what you just read. That's the way you feel like, I'm in tune. That's the way you balance and start writing, not like kilele. God doesn't want us to go through life kilele, 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 kilele. He won't tell us everything, but at least one way or the other will prepare us. Does that make some sense? Okay, beautiful. So, I have told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Let me add this to it. Now, sometimes the Lord will tell us something, but we are not hearing. We are not hearing. Can I say this? A lot of Christians enter trouble around this area, including all of us. You know, you just don't want to hear that. Or you don't pay attention to it. Let me give an example of a pastor. This pastor, he just said he would just wake up in the morning around 4 or 5 o'clock. He just, yeah, get ready. Get ready, some economic downturn. Get ready. He said he didn't pay attention to it. He didn't listen to it. He just feel that, you know, something's going to happen about economy. He just kept on. When it finally hit, he began to borrow money every month to survive. He borrowed money for almost about 10 months. 10 months, he borrowed money. So, then he said he prayed, he couldn't pay the debt. So, one day he was praying, the Lord told him, "I told you this, you didn't get ready. Now, I'm here to bail you out." Then he told him something he wanted to sell. He couldn't sell it. He said, "Okay, just they'll come and buy that in the next couple of days." And that was clear. We Christians, sometimes, let's be careful here. When somebody's in trouble, let's not quickly blame the Lord. Because one way or the other, he might have warned us. Are you hearing me? But the beautiful thing is to be able to pick that up quickly and then follow it through. That sensitivity of heart to learn to pick it up and follow through. So, I've told you before it comes, he told them, they didn't listen, remember? He told them they're going to capture him, they'll take him away. In fact, Peter argued with him. If you remember that? Let's go and see that, Matthew 16. Just a minute, let me find the verse, put some rope. Give us verse 20, if I'm correct. Then he commanded his disciples that he should not tell anyone that it was Jesus the Christ. Next verse. And from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem And do what? And suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised. When? The third day. Let's keep reading. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Many of us rebuke the Lord like that. Saying, far be it from you, Lord, this is not happened to you. You know why he said that? He didn't want to hear because Jesus was the one providing for his family and the rest of the people. So you can't cut that off. No, Petro cannot go up that high. What do we do? It can't happen. There'll be riots. It has gone beyond that now. We are still here. So you have to just sometimes get into some of these inkling, some ideas. We are not getting afraid. Don't get me wrong. But you see, he didn't pay attention because he didn't want to deal with that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, oh Lord, how do I get out of this now? So, there's something you must be doing in prayer. Listen to this, everybody. We have forgotten about it. Emma Sona Kesi Magbad. I'm not familiar with the song. See, Sona, which honor? Getima? Huh? Emma Sona, Emma Badura, Abeko. Emma Sona, is it Sona or Sona? Watch. Both of them, same thing. You have to watch. Watch that again. Now, listen to me, everybody. You should be watching and praying. That means when you are praying, you should be watching. What's the meaning of watching? You see, when you are praying, you use your mouth. But when you are watching, what do you use? Your eyes. Right? So, when you are praying, you should be looking to the Lord and looking into what you are praying about. You should be looking. You should be, as you are praying, you should be looking. For instance, you have an interview tomorrow. Father, Lord, I'm praying for success and trust. At the same time, be looking, what should I get ready? What do I do with this? Bam. You want to buy something? As you are praying about it, start thinking about, where can I buy this? How can I go? What can I do with it? A lot of time, things have happened to me in church. What I have to do with church, I just tell them, let's do this now. They say, And then we do it. And something just happened. They say, oh, Pastor, how did you know? I didn't hear any voice. I just felt that as I pray, the more you pray, the more you will see, you will have and think better. Hallelujah. Prayer is like perfume. When you pray, beside it being heard by God, it also uplifts your personality. What did I say? Prayer doesn't only just get to God, but it also affects you as a person. Because you cannot be in the presence of the omnipresent and omniscient and not have some science and some potence. Are you getting what I'm saying? Does that make some sense? I'm struggling here. Help me. Because I want you to get it. So you're not left to yourself. Okay, good. Let's now go back. Let's leave that alone. John 14. Let's not spend the whole day over there. John 14, 29. And now I've told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Hallelujah. Next verse. Now let's go further now. I will no longer talk much with you. For the ruler of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me. I no longer talk much with you. For the ruler of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me. Can we read verse 28 along with this verse? We're going to jump verse 29. So give us verse 28. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I'm going to the Father. Now give us verse 30. I no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Now, can you look at it like this? I don't want to use anybody for drama now. Maybe I should use Jeremiah. He will bear with me. Okay, Jeremiah, come. Can you stay here? Thank you. Now, listen to this. Jesus said, I'm going away. Right? And all of you should be happy that I'm going away. But he said, as he's going away, the ruler of this world is coming. See, there's going to be a collision somewhere here. I'm going to the Father. The ruler of this world is coming. That we're going to jam somewhere. Sorry for hitting me like that in the chest. You get what I'm saying? You see, these are cryptic things that were written in the Bible so we can learn. You couldn't talk deep with them, but we're going to unfold it. He's going away to the Father. But on his way, the ruler of this world is coming. We call it the cross. The cross. So, as the Father has plans for Jesus to come to him, the enemy has also been released to come against Jesus. That's where life is. Thank you, Jeremiah. I can always do that. Anybody else will say, coming ruler of this world. Now, who is this ruler of this world is coming? And he has nothing in me. So, he's going to the Father. On the way going to the Father, the ruler of this world is coming. And they're going to collide somewhere. And the Father is allowing that to happen. Now, let's go further. He said, this one has nothing in me. So, he cannot be, that ruler cannot be a good ruler. Are you hearing me? And number two, he cannot be God. Because God has everything in Jesus. Does it make some sense? So, here is he going to the Father. And the ruler of this world is coming. Now, look at this verse. Beautiful. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Now, just imagine, the devil is coming, and Jesus is going. So, what should Jesus do? Dodge him, go do something else. But he said, I have a commandment from the Father, and I have to prove that I love my Father by going through that collision. So, Jesus was not just going to meet the devil. Oh, remember, let's go back to Adam, the first man on this planet. God gave him a job, put him on this planet to go about. The ruler of this world came and beat him up. Am I right? Am I right? The devil came into the garden. It was about his job. The devil came and he submitted to the devil. But Jesus said, I'm going to be allowed to face the devil on my way to the Father. And I must love the Father enough to allow the collision to happen. This is what he's saying is this. God is going to allow the devil to take his life over. The hour of darkness on his way to the Father, the hour of darkness will envelop him. He'll be hit by the devil on that collision. Interesting. He said, I have nothing with him. I have nothing. He doesn't have anything with him, but I'm submitting myself to this. Because I love the Father. So the Father had certain secrets about that collision between God. You know, sometimes in our lives, we'll face things that look opposite. Why does God allow them to happen? There must be a greater good, or else he won't allow it to happen. Am I making some sense? So anytime God allows the devil to come to meet us on our way to wherever we are going for God, he doesn't want us to fail there or to do something. We need to prove the love of the Father in that situation. Am I making some sense? Let's go a step further. So we need to dig into this. Jesus was going to the Father and the devil was coming to collide with him. We call it the cross of Calvary. Jesus was not going to the Father on an express road. He was going to the Father on a very bad road. The devil is created. Remember when Jesus, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Let's see if you can find it. Okay. Maybe. Let's see if you can find it. I have to look for it. Talking about when Jesus was about to be captured. And hallelujah. Are we here? Now, let's find the verse. Verse 47. Let's just read. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with sword and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Let's go on. We just read. Now, his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss is the one season. Let's go on. And immediately, he went up to Jesus and said, greeting, Rabbi, and kissed him. Let's go on. And Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? And they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Now, listen, this has never happened to Jesus. This had never happened to him. Nobody could do that. Nobody. The apostles were never expecting that to happen. They knew that he could walk on the water. he could speak to anybody anytime, and the father had kept him. Sometimes, John said, sometimes when they're about to capture another, he would just disappear. Have you seen that before in the Bible? You won't find him anymore. In fact, in his hometown, when he came out and started preaching, the whole town got angry and took him to a mountain and threw him down. Bible said, he just turned and walked. I mean, can you just imagine? You are pushed a guy to a particular thing, he just stopped and turned around, and all of you are just watching like Dundee United. You know, he just walked through like that. So the apostles were expecting that. You do the same thing. But they just captured him. Look at next verse. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the army. Jesus, you can't help yourself. Let's help you. The disciples, that never happened before. The PA just got serious. Let's go on. And just said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Next verse. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide what? Me with more than 12 legions of angels. Now look at next verse. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Next verse. And in that hour, Jesus said, have you come out as against a robber with sword and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple. You did not seize me. Next verse. But all this was done, disciples of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples, what? They took off. Now, if you read, I think Mark or Luke, he said, this is the hour of darkness. So, Jesus was going to the Father through the valley of the shadow of death. Are you hearing me? No, not the shadow. He went through the valley of death. Now, the shadow could now come to us because death had been defeated. I'm coming to that. I got a book today which I'm about to read. It's called The Death. Death died in the death of Jesus. You see what I just said? Death died in the death of Jesus. I look forward to go and read the book now. I want to see how death died in the death of Jesus. Okay. So this is what happened to Jesus on the way to the Father. Are you still here with me? He was going to fulfill the plan of the Father, and the devil came trying to stop him on the road, and he said, this is the hour of darkness. And surrendered himself. Let's go deeper into that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2 about Jesus and the devil. Oh, by the way, before we go there, let's go back to John 14, verse 30. Let's do something. I no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world, the ruler, King James called him the prince of this world, or the ruler of this world. Let's meditate. Jesus is the most accurate person on this planet when he walked the earth. He doesn't know the truth, he's the truth. For Jesus to describe the devil as the ruler of this world and not his father as ruler of this world, then it's really serious. That simply means that this world is not ruled by his father. Make some sense? So what you are confronting here is not God at work all the time. The kind of things you are going through, what's happening to you at work, at home, in your neighborhood, in your nation, in your state, whatever is happening to you, don't ever think only God is at work. In fact, the ruler is called the ruler. So he has upper hand in this world we live in. Let me even get a little bit more brass tack. He has much more upper ruler in your life than God the Father. Sorry to tell you that. Because we do more evil than we do good. Only God is helping us. There's much more wrong with our life than right with our lives. I don't know about you. When I was young, I can say, no, that's not true. But the older I get, the more I find that there are evil things in my flesh that won't allow me to do what God needs to do. For instance, I have come to see that there are certain behaviors, certain sinful practices are in my life that I need to be aware of. It's called sin that easily beset me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the devil has left mark on all of us. We were born in his backyard, and we grew up under his tutelage. Pastor, don't talk like that. We are Christians. Yes, we are Christians. Let's go. Take your Bible. You're welcome again. Sorry for doing that in the service. So just come in. I'm not saying that for some time. So can I do that? Where were we? I just lost bearing. Where were we? I said we should open somewhere. What did I say we should open to? Huh? First Corinthians. No, that was before I, just before she came and said something. God was saying something. Oh, you lost. You got lost like me too. Okay. All right. Let's see what we can do. So I was talking about the devil, the ruler of this world, is at work. And sometimes there is much more taking place. Jesus was the only person that the devil could not find anything inside of him. He was the only one. Let's look at the world we live in. Ephesians 2. Give us an NLT from verse 1. And I want you to see something about the world we live in. Once, we're talking about us who are Christians, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. So we had a past, not of a saint, we had a past of a sinner. Everybody here seated here, your past is not that so glorious. When we look at it from heaven's point of view, we were dead in sin, disobedience, and many, many, many sins. Let's go on. And you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commanders of the power in the unseen world. So here, the world you're living over here as a commander there, not Jesus, not the Holy Ghost. Is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God? It's working in our that's why things won't work straight. That's why things never work. That's why you see war breaking out. Because we the old world, the system is wrong. Sins had captured and captivated us. Let's keep reading. All of us used to live that way. Following the passionate desires and what? Our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. You know, Nigerians are very famous for judging others. How can that pastor do like that? How can that government man do like that? How can that government do like that? How can that commissioner, how can that politician do like that? Because politicians here, we hear wulu. But actually, you are just like them. And just we're just recovering alcoholics, just like them. we're just getting better. We have to face that fact, including Pastor himself. I'm not talking about you alone. Let me make you laugh. Years ago, it was a Tuesday or Sunday, I was teaching like that. And I said, everybody will die. What's that was? I can't remember that they did. You know? I said, everybody will die. I said, engineers will die, accountants will die, doctors will die. That's that. But said, pastors will die too. I said, yes, amen. Praise God. She just clicked. You know, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are all in that same boat. I hope you're getting that. Only Jesus was the only one that was clean enough. Was clear enough that there was nothing wrong with him. And then he gave up his life to the devil to torment him. Why? Let's go to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians that we referred to sometimes ago. Let's look at it. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. We read some verses there. The devil had to be given his place and explanation. It's not just fair to say the devil is in this world. Why did they allow? Can I ask? Please be honest. God won't mind. How many of you, if you are God, you won't make word with devil and evil? Can I see your hands up? My two hands are up. You hear me? I mean, if I were God, I will not make the world with this kind of evil and trouble. But thank God I'm not God. And it's been around for a longer time. That means if I were God, I would have destroyed this thing a long time ago. But let me explain why. Why did God allow evil? You see, that's the wrong question to ask. The question is actually this. Why did God allow this? He could have just made everybody to be like, bam. Why did he allow evil? Because he had to make people like himself with freedom. You know what I said? Look at this flower. Look at this fan. Look at this camera. You don't have any freedom. What is freedom? I can choose. And when I can choose, I will have options. So God said, what a great project for God to do. God was saying, only God can do that. God said, I want to make certain people that will have freedom to choose me or reject me as a family member. And the only way I can convince them is that if they choose against me, the repercussions will get them back to me, or they just choose not to come back. You have to make that kind of, that kind of gigantic project, only God can undertake that. And he did this before the foundation of the world. He chose to go this way because he wanted to have people who not just be like robots in heaven. Angels, almost like that. They don't have anything about freedom. But God said, I want to make a family that will choose me or reject me. That's tough. That's tough. And God determined that if they reject me, what should we do to get them back? If they accept me, fantastic. But he puts in them the power of freedom to choose. So God cannot just bamboozle them. He has to make himself available to be chosen or to be rejected. Wow. Somebody said, but God knows everything. Because he knows everything, that's why he did that. He knows that when you go this way, this will happen to you. If you go this way, this will happen to you. And you want to trust his power of love to want to get you back here, that the evil will be pushing you too much, like the prodigal son. Remember prodigal son? Have you ever thought the reason why the father gave him the inheritance? Do you know why? Because he's a son. He's a son. That's why he asked for his right of inheritance. He's a son. If I could say, no, I'm not giving it to you, then no longer a son. Some of you are confused about what I'm saying now. You know? So he said, Dad, give my own. And Dad said, you know what? The father had to choose to give him choice or freedom. And somebody say, why should you give him that? Because it's my son. But what about if he stray away? He has a right. Huh? So we human beings never like to give that to people. You know that in the hospital, they want to do for you operation, they will say sign, consent, am I right, sir? They can't just force it on you. And you can walk out. And when something happens, you come back again, something like that. They won't force things on people. We are forced and things like that. We are reducing you when we start forcing you. We are reducing you. It's no longer love. Because love is a choice. Are you following what I'm saying? So God has to choose that. Let's go to Ephesians 1. We've got a lot of things to do tonight. We finish by 10 o'clock. Going on soon. Let's look at Ephesians 1 from verse 4 in Message Bible. Long before he laid down earth's foundations. Oh, can you hear this? Before he ever even laid the earth foundation, he had us where? In mind. Had settled on us as the focus of his love. Before we came up. And to be made what? Whole and set apart by his love. You're going to be whole and holy, not by force, but by love. You're going to make your choice for me. How about going to a lady with AK-47 and say, you love me? What will she say? My sister, she wants to leave. I love you. Go, 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 go. But you know that inside is gone. That's why Islam did. Islam came with a sword and said, well, are you a Muslim? What do you think I will say? You know? So we made whole and holy by his law before the foundation of the world. Let's go on reading. So long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. So it was not pain to him. It was pleasurable. I want to have children. I want to have people like my image, like Jesus, my son. I just want to have that, and they have right to choose. I know these angels will be going ballistic. Wait, why choose care? They either want me or they don't want me. I just want family. I don't want robots. That's the difference between security officer following you around and your kid. I mean, if you go to White House or Tinubu or something, you know, there's something about... But when your children come in, you know, there's something like, oh, daddy, you know, just run. There's freedom there. But all those other ones, you stand by the door, carry everything, you stand something. And that's all you see. You have problems. You want to see family. You only can touch and move around. And God gave me a picture years ago that really blessed me. One day I was thinking, I was not even in the country. I was thinking, God, why do you so much love us? I just saw like a First Bank MD. First Bank MD. You know, they have PA that follow them around. This First Bank of Nigeria now. And I saw him going home with all these PAs and kind of thing. And he got to his house. They carried his bag. He entered his house, and I just saw his young son. Just run, daddy! I just saw, he just ran, and the man just, you know, forgot all the protocol. Just picked him up, and he started wrestling on the floor there, and P.A. just looking. He can't separate them. He can't say, stop pushing our MD. The father will say, Baurele Bere. God wanted to have family that just be around him like that. See, we don't worship God as God. You worship and I say, Father, praise God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hallelujah. But that's painful. That's costly. To have children is costly. More than even school fees. Are you hearing me? To have children, when they are very small, over there, when they are very small, can I daddy, my angel. When they get to around teenage years, they become like a demon. You have to now refurbish. They reject everything about you. I don't like your house. I don't like your car. I don't like your phone. I don't like the room. You know, they don't like everything anymore. Okay. You know what they say? I'm not going to change this house. Which house? Not even change the house. You know, they start growing up and become more mature and adult. They start saying things. We can sit down together now. But it takes effort to do that. It takes a lot. Do they have small children now? You think you are having a problem? What is the problem? Say, what? They're going to call you up, ask you for counsel, stuff like that. That's what we're going to be for God for eternity. We're going to be his children. That we can discuss new planets, new stuff. That God can say, hey, walking, while everybody's worshiping, he can hold us to himself. Hallelujah. Don't worry about all the pains now. We are going through all that of growing up, maturing. And the devil is here, trying to torment our lives. But we are his family. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? All right. Now, that allowed God to put Adam in the garden. And when the devil came, not to jump in. I mean, what would it be like? You pay your children's school fees. You know, you are a professor in that subject. And then they got to the exam hall. Are you hearing me? And then they look at the paper. Say, daddy! Kilele! You don't say, don't worry, I'm coming inside. I'm coming ahead. The Christianity will carry you. He just put you in jail. In fact, if a professor, it'll make the news better. A professor entered the class to help his, can you imagine? So what do you do? You just stand outside, let them rumble through it. So God had to just stand outside and let you prove your love. It's tough, but it's the best thing you can do. Praise the Lord. You will be very proud of your child having first class, not because you help him write the exam, but because he's brilliant from inside. Does that make some sense? Hallelujah. So that's the reason why. You know how we got here? That we were all in this mess before, and God trusted that we can come out. That's why I sent Jesus. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Okay, beautiful. So let's look at God's program to get us back, though we are lost. Verse 4. Let's go. Verse 4. Verse 5. Let's jump. Verse 6. Okay. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Please, this is a little bit complicated word. Let's do some unraveling here tonight. You know, Paul was saying, let's start from verse 1. And I, brethren, give us an NLT. Be with me. I need your help. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you what? God's secret plan. Next verse. But I decided that while I was with you, I'll forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified for us. We are the cross. You remember? Next verse. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Let me read that and we can come back. This is talking about. Let's go to. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belong to this world, as though you were infant in the Christian life. Let's go on. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, the whole church. Let's go on. For you are still controlled by your flesh, sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your flesh, sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? You see Paul was talking to them. He said, I really want to go. I want us to go further. We can't be dealing with toys. Car toys and really have a great car. We can't have real cars with toys alone. He says, we're busy with quarrel, fighting, jealous, you know, do my own better than your own, my da 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 da. Next verse. When one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, another says, follower of Apollos, aren't you acting just like people of the world, having your celebrities and your stars? See, that's infant. We need to grow up. Praise God, somebody. And we need to eat adult food, right? Whew. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 6. So, keep on in this Bible. So, yet when I'm among mature believers, I do speak words of wisdom. Give us an NKJV so we can quickly run over here. Okay. Stay here. Thank you very much. But not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. Let me try. Can we go further? Can we go further? All right. So we need to feed on the wisdom of God that arrange all these things we are dealing with. You know, there are, for instance, now, Dr. Riba is over there, Dr. Sugebi, I have some engineers over here. They spent 6 or 7 years to understand the scheme of work in medicine. So that when they run into anything, they could, in that light, see what is wrong and make adjustments. Even when it's not their area, they could see that it's not their area. I hope you are getting what I'm saying now. And they can refer to somebody or some kind of thing like that. Because of the scheme that have become part of them. In fact, it becomes so much part of them that sometimes, unconsciously, they'll tell you the answer. When I was in medical school, we follow word round with our consultant. We'd be battling with the books, and they're talking away, just as if they would say, this case is like 2, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. Put my believer. You know, it becomes part of them. So Bible is saying that there's also there's a scheme of work for Christians, that when you have this kind of wisdom, you will be able to run into life, and you will not be too overtaken. Am I making some sense? For instance, if you study, what do you study, man? Computer science. Thank you. When you want to computer now, you don't do like this. You know what to do. Something happened there. You know what to do. No, maybe I've forgotten by now. All the selection of the different civil service cadres. But you just know what to do because it's part of you. But if I say medicine to you now, oh no, I need to see a doctor. But see, you to, if computer breaks down for Dr. Ariba, you'll have to see her. Are you hearing me? You won't say, I'm going to take injection. You won't do that. So in the same way, there is the truth of Christianity that is a practice that we understand, that we can, if we get used to that very well, we can use to interpret our lives. Does that make some sense? Huh? Now, he called it wisdom. I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that the world runs around about solving their problems. And not the ruler of this age who has not forgotten. Because in the world out there, it's trending. Things are trending. Things are trending. It doesn't last. My wife was telling somebody a particular clothes. He said, don't sew that kind of clothes because it may not last for a long time. Is it something closet? Is it closet? Corset, whatever they call it. I don't know what the clothes is. You know. They call it corset. They said it may be out of fashion soon, you know. You know, because everything just changes. There was one time, this will make you laugh, there was one time a woman, I think it was about 15 years ago, besides sewing clothes long like this, and they tie it at the back. They tie it like that. You are forgotten. It be like a bow like that at the back. Everybody was wearing it. You see the bow. And one day, the bow disappeared. They just tie it at the back, put the bow there, they go, and they just get a hair. Another one, it comes like this. It's amazing. It's trending, changing the world. But we are different. We have something that won't trend, that won't change. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Something that will help us grow on. Hallelujah. Let's look at next verse. This is where I'm going. Look at it. Now, no, the wisdom we speak is the mystery of God. Now, listen now. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our what? Ultimate glory before the world began. So, can you look up a minute? God has planned for your life to be glorious life. And for that life to happen gloriously, he has planned certain understanding scheme of work to work with it. That's what we are doing in church. We are working with the scheme so that you'll be able to go outside there and sort out your life. Just like when they are medical school or computer school, they learn those things so they can go out there and fix computers, work on computers, work on the human body, treat people's body well. Am I making some sense? So now we are in church now, so we can learn some of these things and then work with it in our lives. I hope you know that I hate wasting my life. If this I'm doing won't make your life better, I would have left here a long time ago and be drinking beer and one joint. To be honest with you. If this, I would have had wife at every state in Nigeria, plus capital, make it 37. If this doesn't work, if it's not true, I hate wasting my life. But I came to see that this actually is it. And every day is getting proof to me that God is right and Jesus is the way. But in that way, we must go further in it. You can't just go to medical school or computer school and stay year one and don't do anything else. It won't work. It will just be like as if you had never gone to school at all in the first place. Does that make some sense? So we need to go further in this thing. Now, this is where I'm going now. Please be with me. Give us in NKJV this verse. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained when? Before the ages, for whose glory? Wow. God wants to glorify your life. He wants to beautify your life. He wants to make your life an evidence of his blessing and presence and excellence. But that just can't happen by only wishing so. We have to learn the ways and means of doing that. Now look at next verse. Which none of the ruler of this age knew? If for had they known it, what is the next? Okay, let me give you some relief. Remember Jeremiah stood over there, right? And I stood here. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, and the evil ruler is coming, and then they collided. God allowed that collision because that collision will give us the best plan to live our life. Oh, is that what I just said? You see, in the wisdom of God, if the ruler of this world, the devil plus all his guys, if they had known that them, that plan, they wouldn't have come to Jesus, collided with him, kill him. Because that colliding with Jesus is our deliverance. See what I just said? By Jesus going to the cross, look at John 12. Hallelujah. I'm going to the Father. The evil one is coming. And they collided. John chapter 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why did he kill Jesus? He didn't know that he was serving God's purpose in killing Jesus. Are we here? Look at this. This was just before the cross. Verse 23. We read one verse there. Move down. Just as I said to them, the hour has come. That what? The Son of Man should be what? Glorified. What does it mean? Look at next verse. Most, as only I say to you, unless a grain of wheat do what? Falls into the ground and dies, it remains what? Alone. But if it dies, what does it do? So, Jesus is going to the Father. He had to go to the Father through collision with the devil that will kill him. But that killing is what makes the seed to die. And when the seed dies, he doesn't only become only one seed anymore. What happened? That buried, killed, will turn the seed, if you take granite small like this, when you bury it, it dies. But it starts growing, and no longer a seed, it becomes a plant, am I right? With branches, with many granules, am I correct? Is that clear? Mango. Mango seed is alone. But the moment you plant it, it dies. And when it dies, it comes out with trunk, branches, and fruit. Does that make some sense? You can get that. So God's plan is that Jesus going to the Father, for instance, now when you take a seed, you are going for the harvest. Am I right? You go to the farm. You are not just going to go and kill the seed, but you are actually killing the seed. It will enter the ground and start growing. So Jesus, the Father sent him and said, you are coming back to me. But you won't come back as a seed any longer. You'll be a mighty tree. The next chapter is talking about, I'm divine, you are the branches. So Jesus was no longer a seed anymore. By that collision with death, that means Jesus will get glorified through death. Hallelujah. That his best will come out through death, through difficulty, through jamming the devil. And I trust that your best will come out too as you jam the devil in this world, as he comes across your way. That his attack at you will actually at the end bring greater progress in your life. You know what I can say that about us? Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verse 16. Let's look at it. Give us in NLT. Chapter 4. We come back to what we're talking about. That's why, can you look up? That's why we are never giving up. Though our bodies are dying, our hopes look as if they're not going to come to pass, our spirits are being renewed when? Every day. Look at next verse. For our present troubles are what? And won't last yet. What they do? They produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs. Now, this is where I love church. This is where I'm here. You know, in my younger days, I used to feel like, Lord, now I'm teaching them. Don't let them have any trouble in life. Just keep them. Just don't let anything happen to them. But I find that's a wrong prayer to pray. For me to pray that nothing will happen to you, you stay the way you are, devil will be out of your way, trouble will be out of your way, your glory won't come out. Your best won't come out. It's like saying, I've taught them now there'll be no exam. If there's no exam, we don't know who's going to be first class, second class, or third class. So, the troubles produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So, when I'm struggling with an issue in my life,
Of course.
How do I say this? Abraham had two sons, right? He had Ishmael and he had Isaac. Now, he got Isaac by a lot of struggle. Am I right? 25 years. But overnight, he slept with Hagar and got a child. Now, anybody who looks at the two children will say, there's no difference. They're both children. But one child made Abraham. One. The other one, it was normal. Like anybody can have a child. We know Abraham for what Abraham's today because of the struggle of getting Isaac. That pain, that disappointment worked on his heart and he trusted God and he went through it. So whatever you are facing, don't look too sad as if, am I the only one? Whatever you are going through, God has plans to bring glory out of your life. And may that glory comfort in Jesus' name. So right now, as I teach you now, I'm expecting troubles in your life. Pastor, how can you say that? Now, I'm not saying that bad things will be that kind of. But what I'm saying is that whatever happens to you, the skirmishes in your life will actually produce for you. Does that make some sense? So we must not give up. We must not surrender. Now, wait. It took 25 years before Sarah finally produced a child. That her son should have been her grandson, correct? Correct? And she lived a couple of years, 27 years more, never see Isaac getting married. But we have not stopped talking about Sarah and Abraham till today. A glory arrived in their lives that's much more than the Isaac that we see. So for us Christians, we have a leeway with God that even when we are, okay, I just saw it. Psalm 37. Yeah, this will help me say it better. Glory to God. And this will answer questions in our heart. Psalm 37. Good. Verse 16. A little a righteous man has, what is it? Is better than the what? The revenue or the riches of many wicked. This is where Christians get confused. Are you listening? Let me say it like this. The 50,000 of that sister is worth more than billions of Dangote. That's what I said over there.
What? How can you say that?
Because it's a matter of the heart, not the pocket. Pastor, it's good to have the pocket too, so we can have plenty to spend. But actually, when you have plenty, 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 what are you going to do with it? Plenty, 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 plenty. Certain level, money doesn't make sense anymore. Pastor, it will make sense. Let me have it first. You know, you start opening a refinery and you'll be battling with NNPC all your life to see that they get the petrol lifted. You know? Then you open a university and everybody's taking away your money. Professors come and take all the money and you'll be looking at where is the money going. You know, so, but something happens to us on the inside. That's what I'm trying to say. If a Christian starts a school, an unbeliever starts a school, there's something happening inside of him. If you let it happen to him, okay, let's close it there. So you are there. The Lord will remind you later. Let's leave it like that. Back to our subject, the devil, right? And God walking through. So when the devil, where did we stop now? Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. So when we collide, okay, let's go back there. Verse 7 or verse 8, where we are. Verse 8. Okay. So, let's summarize. So, Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. The evil one is coming. When they jammed at the cross, that cross became our answer, became the definition for our future. If the devil knew what the cross could have done, He wouldn't have jammed Jesus and stopped him on the way to the Father by killing him. Ultimately, Christ got to the Father, but far better than not the devil being around. By planting him in death, he rose as a giant tree with branches of all of us today. We'll see that next chapter. But let's round up before we read the book. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Let's see it another way, and then we'll round up. Do you have the book ready? Do you have the book ready today? Media, do you have the book ready? You are not sure. Okay, all right. You are not sure. Okay, and Slakem is here. So don't relax. Don't worry. We are not fighting you. We know you are not ready. It's working for our glory. Let's see that way. Praise the Lord. Okay, all right. Let's just calm down then. What I say we should open to Hebrews chapter 2. We want to look at Jesus going to the Father, the devil accosting him on the way, killed him, and that became the cross that became the power of God. You see, Christianity doesn't make sense. What do I say? Doesn't make sense. Because it's not measured by this word. Doesn't make sense. Honestly, it doesn't make sense for you to come and sit down here and hear the word of God. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. But it's profitable at the end of the day. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. It's worth wasting your life on. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for that. Remember a story in the Bible about a woman who came to Jesus toward the end. Jesus was in the house eating, and a woman came with a very expensive alabaster box of oil. Remember that? It's about 3 years' salary of an average worker. So today, how much is what's our minimum wage? 70,000 times 12 times 3. You want to help me do that? 70,000 times 12 times 3. Huh? You serious? Okay, let's not go too far. Let's use the old rate, 30,000. I mean, a perfume costing 2.5 million. It should take you to jail. That kind of perfume. See, she took that perfume. Are we listening? And got to Jesus and just broke it on Jesus. And it was, the smell filled the house. And then Judas, who had money sense, he said, why this waste? Of course, he had another higher sense of stealing the money. Why this waste? In fact, they started rebuking her. That's Christianity. You have to waste your life in a way. And then Jesus said, stop tormenting her. She has done this for me. Listen to this. This is done for what? For my burial. Now, I said this. Wherever this gospel is going to, they'll talk about her. Why that? Jesus believed that you will never get the best of Christianity until I die. Jesus died, burial. And you will not get the best of Christianity if you don't take your highest, best of your life and offer it to him. Because God gave us his best, we can't treat his best averagely. You know what I just said? Brother Kennedy usually call it tokenism. Tokenism, no tokenism. Just give God a token. I know. I understand. I'm a human being like you. If you are not careful, we have a mentality of just solving our problems to go on with life. But God has much more plan for our life than just solving our problems and meeting our needs. Because you yourself, what is it about your life? So Christ is about life, not just about things. So that we can really get far better. That's why we are doing all this we are doing. We're not just trying to construct your life physically, economically, emotionally. We're trying to change and transform the real person that who you are. And that's where the glory manifests. That's where this is what matters. You know, I'm getting a little bit into lamentation now. You know, I see today people are getting tired of Christianity because they never really dealt with Christianity. They only dealt with their external life. My wife and I were talking and I said, I wonder why these people just go and get tied to put cap on them. There are deeper things to do in Christianity than that. There are deeper issues. There are things about people's life we need to deal with than just carry one stick or this symbolism. Let's get to the real thing. Sorry, forgive me now. There is more to academic than becoming a professor. Why? Because, you know what? There are issues to be solved in our different disciplines that we need to get deeper into. There's just more than getting an MBBS. Taliban knows that. There are people to be taught, there are life to be changed, that we don't get in there, things won't happen. And we need to really think more about that than just get some few things to make ourselves happy and our friends. And that's the essence of Christianity. You know, I'm not excited about being a pastor. Since I'm a pastor, I'm a senior pastor, get more tattoo to myself. You know, that's not life. That's not life. That's just hanging things on myself, hanging. You know, it's like somebody say, your wristwatch or your life. Emma Mulo. So it's life. I hope I'm making some sense. So that's what Jesus came for. Let's go to Hebrews 2. So when we're discussing this, it doesn't look too close and too so much. Where do we start from? So much to say. Look at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, I like you to see this part. Can you see that end part? That he, by the grace of God, might do what? So, the death of Jesus, this is the mystery. The death of Jesus is the death of every one of us. The death of Jesus is a coming to an end. The death is coming to an end. The coming to an end of Jesus physically is coming to an end of our limited, useless life. Oh, glory to Jesus. Let's keep reading. For it was fitting for him, that's the Father, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing what? Many sons to what? Oh, are we here? So, what is the Father after? What is fitting for him? That each one of us will become a glorious life. Not so-so life. You know, by the end of the year now, pastors start coming out with different predictions. Are you hearing me? In Ghana, the government has banned that. Do you know why? Because the pastors want to become glorious by predicting the future. But they are making a mistake. There are people sitting before them that God has a fantastic, glorious plan for. That they need to explore that. Everybody here, you are a glorious package. Now, we know we have all our problems. Now, listen to this. Can you give us an NLT? Maybe to make it a little bit sounding better, clearer, in better language. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children to what? So tell somebody beside you, God's plan is to bring you to glory. And it was only right that it should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader. faith to bring them into their what? Okay, now let's explain that further. So what is salvation? To the average person, salvation is you come out, you're a sinner, you pray a sinner's prayer, and then we put you in a convert class, and then you join the church, and then you continue. And when you marry, we marry you. And when you die, you know, when you have children, we get married, we marry them. And then when you die, we bury you as a Christian in Christian cemetery. And then after you've gone, we label the chair in memorial of you. Or the window. But what we are talking about is God bringing us into glory. Glory now in our emotional life, in our physical life, in our financial life, in our marital relationships, in our friendly relationship, that something glorious will manifest there. By the way, what is the word glory? It's the opposite of shame. What did you say? What's the word glory? Everybody here, there's something about shame in your life. Everybody here. There's something about shame in your life, including myself. What is shame? Shame is something that happens in your life that you wish never happened. Right? So, what is glory? Something in your life you wish will never happen to you. Are you hearing me? Let me give you an example of that. Why do I want to be a professor? Or want to be a consultant? There's something about becoming that hurts to you. Now, I don't know what that is. Are you hearing me? Let me give you an example. When I was in secondary school, I got so many prizes on our prize-giving day when we were finishing school. I think about 6 or 7 or 8 prizes I got. You know, I was looking forward to it. And when they called my name, my parents were not there. And they called my name, and I collected all the stuff. And when we finished, it ended. It actually ended. And I went out, and I couldn't feel that bad. If I kept feeling that every day, I'm psychiatric. If I feel that, I'll be in trouble. So I start saying, oh, that's not it. That's why some of these girls, when they get married like that, the day of their marriage, they dance forward, dance back. 1 year later, we ask, what have you learned? Endurance. You don't know what? Because the glory has faded. So the clapping. See, all of us are looking for that glory. That's why we struggle. You know, for instance, you want to be the MD and park in that MD's corner. Huh? And then you become the MD and you park there. And I can't wait. So you notice that. Then all the troubles of MD start coming to your head. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, remember, how many of you are there when we just finished this building? How many of you are there? I have a phone that usually reminds me the pictures in my phone. And we say 5 years ago, 8 years ago. And once in a while, my phone will bring the picture of this building the day of dedication. My wife was looking great. I was wearing funny clothes that day. Because I can still remember it. One of the pastors said, mama, look great. Reverend, your shoes are terrible. You know, but you know, that's just me. And you know, that day it was glorious. What a building. Now we are tired of the building. It just did America. And it's leaking now. One time, a place was leaking right on the head of the senior pastor over there. You hear me? You know, that's where life is. Everybody thinks that you are glorious, but you are feeling, so what? So, you know, I live in this house. So what? I live at GRE now. So what? You know, before you were living in that place where you can easily buy biscuits. Now you are at GRE near the governor's house. You can't buy biscuits anymore. You have to go to town before you buy biscuits and fuel level is kind of, you know, all this. We are looking for something. We want to get that. When we get it, we'll sort out all how we feel better. That's what glory is talking about. What is shame? Whatever we didn't want to have in our lives. Oh, when I got third class in school. Oh, when my parents divorced. When I lost my sister. That's shame. that degraded us. But no, we are still alive today. We are still breathing. Am I right? We are still going on. God is going to add more glory to your life in Jesus' name. Can you say amen louder, somebody here? So, he chose to bring many children into glory. Now, what is salvation? Salvation is not just you come forward, make altar call, you declare Jesus is Lord, and then you are now a Christian, and you are carrying card, be a born again. No. Salvation is the journey from shame to glory, from sin to righteousness, from fragmented life to comprehensive life in balance. And that's a journey. Praise God. I missed something. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 2. Something I missed out. Now, this will make some sense now. Go back to verse 8, in 1 Corinthians 2. Let's read it. Which none of the ruler of this age knew, for had they known it, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, the Lord of glory. Let's keep reading. Next verse. Now, take a look at this. But as it is written, can you look up? The Lord of glory. I has not seen, nor hear heard, never enter into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We've not seen it yet. We've not seen our best. We've not seen our glory yet. We are working toward it. You know, somebody said something I won't forget in my life. I think it was C.S. Lewis. He said, when we get to the other side and we are fully completed, when you see another human being, you will literally bow before you know that it's a human being. Because the glory you are going to display, we have not seen anything in our lives yet. Because of all our hang-ups and sociopath life kind of things we've been running around with. But when God finishes with us in the salvation, at the end of it all, we are going to be really glorious. Hallelujah, somebody. So, eye has not seen, it does not enter the ears yet, you've not seen the heart of man, the thing which God has prepared. You know, people, the particularly if you look at different continents, they have their idea of glory. For instance, in Africa, the idea of glory is money. In the Middle East, it's power. In the Far East, Orientals, it is community. In America, as an white civilization, it's freedom of individual. We all have our ideas of glory, but eye has not seen, ear has not entered. You know, the glory of a man fully alive, that the beautiful thing about a man at the end of the day is that he can't even describe it. That he knows what to do with his life. Even when he's falling, he knows how to get up. And when he gets up, he never thinks that that's the end of it. And when he's even blessed, he can see more ahead of him. And when he's even celebrated, he's not carried away by his own glory. What, you see, the best picture of glory is Jesus Christ himself. Did you hear what I just said? That's the best picture of glory. He was a carpenter. The lowest job, can you imagine? The lowest job from the lowest town, Nazareth, and he became the highest person in the universe today. What a glory. And I have the news for you. You are becoming like him. Praise God, somebody. You are becoming like him. So, we are bound for glory. We are bound for what eye has not seen, ear has not heard, not entered the heart of man. We are going through our life, our family, our businesses, our job, our career. But that will not determine our whole life. Praise the Lord. That's not our whole life. For instance, I'll give an example. Uncle is over there. He's worked in one of the controlling part of this state area of giving out CFO, stuff like that. He worked for several years. He retired. Now, if all his glory was that office, he would have become to himself now depressed and sad and useless to himself. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So, wherever we are, our best is yet to come. Tell yourself, my best is yet to come. Now, when somebody asks you, what is your best? Tell him, wait till both of us see it. Are you hearing me? Because I don't know my best yet. And that's where Christianity comes in. Christianity is to make us to have life, or our best version, and to have it more abundantly. Praise God. That means that whatever stage where you are, you can celebrate it. You can rejoice in it. No, you are still going further than that. Are you hearing me? So you are not looking for $20 million because that's not the end. So today, if you have $20 million, you are looking for how to expand your life more. Are you hearing me? And tomorrow, you run into trouble and something happens that want to set you back. You know how to arrange a new comeback. Praise God, somebody. Am I making some sense? That's the glory of Christianity. That's what God is setting up. That's why we are saved. I'm talking too much today, but it's good. See, if you see that whatever happens to you, you are headed for glory. Can I surprise you? The land flowing with milk and honey is not a land, it's the people. Are you hearing me? It's not the land. Let me surprise you. The land of Canaan, the Bible said it was eating up its inhabitants. It says so. It said that land is eating up, is destroying its inhabitants. Why? Because the kind of people that live there determines the environment. You know that difference now. You go to GRE, you see the place clean. You go to other places, you know now. And then you find litter everywhere, throw things around. The environment was not that way clean, not because of the environment, but because of the people. I hope I'm making some sense. So we are becoming a kind of a people. Can I surprise you? Christ is going to come back and do a 1,000-year reign here with us before we finally settle down in heaven. You know what I just said? I never thought about that before, but it's called Millennium Reign of Christ. You know what? This crazy world, we are going to come back here with glorified body and we're running for 1,000 years and it will work very, very well. Maybe you'll be in Ogun State again. we're going to come back here because it's not just the planet. You see, all this ozone layer, it's not caused by the planet. It's caused by the people. Are you hearing me? Praise the Lord. And this set of people present now, they are all full of shame that they can attend to the glory. Am I making some sense? But this journey is fraught with a lot of struggles, learning and growing. And God, in his fantastic wisdom, has made both the good and the bad to add to our glory. Am I making some sense? Because Joseph was sold by his brother. If he was never sold by his brother, he wouldn't have gotten to Egypt. Did God command them to sell? No. But God is taking all the mess here to make our life a message. Am I making some sense today? So I'm not just pastoring you. I'm pastoring the best of you. And your best will come out in Jesus' name. When you fall down and get up once in a while, you don't bother. One thing that gives parents greatest joy is that there's going to be a growth. Mrs. Enele, let me expose her, went for her daughter's master's degree. Graduation. I remember her. She was small like this, carrying around in church. That's the glory. That's the beauty. And God's going to see that in your own life too in Jesus' name. Am I making some sense? That God can say, this is my beloved son. Do I'm well pleased. And that whatever happens to you, what you lack or you don't lack, is going to work out at the end for your best. Are we here? Have I made some sense? Is it getting through? Let's round up. Hebrews 2, verse 10, we read, or verse 9, where we are, or verse 14 or something. Give us Hebrews 2, verse 10 or 11 or 12. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. Who's our salvation captain? Jesus. He made him perfect through what? Through what? Through suffering. Also, the one that will lead us to glory, are we here, everybody? Let me start handing up now. The one that will lead us to glory must be qualified first. That's why God put Moses as leader of Israel to promised land, but he had to go through troubles himself first. He went to the best Egypt and went to the worst shepherd so that he could qualify to lead them. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? And when he stopped Moses, he asked Joshua to take over. You know why? Because Joshua had been to the promised land. He had seen the length and breadth and seen the fruit of that place. And Joshua actually means Jesus. And Joshua was delayed for 40 years, suffering through the wilderness. So he could be the better captain for them when they entered the promised land. So Jesus had to go through sufferings to perfect him. That's why he came here. That's why he died. That's why he suffered. That's why the Pharisees stood against him. So that our own lives, you know what to do with us today. So, see Jesus, okundada, severe, okundada. For every aspect of our lives. Next verse. Let's round up. For both he who sanctifies and those who have been sanctified, or those who are heading for glory and those who is preparing the glory for them, they are all one. For which reason is not ashamed. See that word again now. Shame. To call them what? Give us an NLT. Let's start running and finish now. NLT. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same father. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his what? You know, have you ever had a brother before? Here you are, you're great, you're mighty. Your brother is still wearing, you know, nappy. You're going to say, hey, that's my brother. Hey, big brother, hey, small boy, you carry them. You know, you're not ashamed because you're the same family. Huh? You belong. Next verse. Quickly. He said, for he said to God, I'll proclaim your name, my brothers and my sisters. I praise you among your assembly people. Next verse. Let's quickly round up now. He also said, I put my trust in him. That is, God has given me. Verse 14. That's where I'm going. Can we do it together, everybody? Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood. The Son also became what? Flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who are the power of death. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo! So we were human, down, natural, failing, and he was glorious God in heaven. You know what he did? He shed his own glory to step down, like your dad did. Your dad took his unearned money and paid your school fees. Am I right? Many of us over here, we do that. We take our unearned money and pay the school fees and buy the clothes and buy the shoes. So then we send them abroad and living off our money. Because we want to buy a car or build a house or do some investment. But we point out, we lost that for their sake. So Jesus became human like us. And after becoming human like us, he knew that the only way he could deal with the devil in our life is to die. So what did he do? He offered to die. And by death, that's the only way he could break the power of the devil. I hope next week we'll get into that. What does it mean to break the power of the devil? But the devil is still around now. Broke his power. Two things happened. Number one, his death broke the power. Give us next verse. His death broke his power. And second, next verse. And only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So we got two things from the death of Jesus. Number one, he dealt a blow to the devil and he brought for us freedom. So that we can actually be. Give us an NKJV, you know, NKJV quickly. Say that he might deliver them. Okay. And release those or deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, to shame, to pain, to sin, to tragedy. We become subject to them. But Jesus went to the cross, and when he died, he broke the power of the devil and he brought freedom for us. Praise God, somebody. You know, what is freedom? Let's be careful here. What is freedom? Have you seen a prisoner before? A prisoner set free. He stepped outside and he breathed a new air. What's that? No longer bond. It's no longer bound there. See, you can go to prison and come out as a free person. If you still go to a house and sleep there, but he has freedom now. That means, you see, before Christ came, we have no freedom to respond to things. We just act anywhere the devil tells us to act. But now, we can choose our reactions. Now, we can determine what to do. Now, we're no longer just left to ourselves. We're no longer without the keys. When you are a prisoner, you don't have the keys. But when you are not a prisoner, you have keys and you can go in and out yourself. So we can choose not to be sad over our problems because we are free people. Am I making some sense? We can choose to find a way out and we can choose to stay the way we are. But thank God, our freedom will be used well for us in Jesus' name. Lifetime of bondage. That we have been released from it. Praise God, somebody. Can I say this as I round up? You can be all that God wants you to be, even where you are right now. Just head toward the glory. Tell yourself, I'm earning $10,000 now, but there's a glory for me. Hallelujah. I may not eat all I want to now, but a time is coming that I can eat all I want to and I won't eat it because of my health. What I just said. Praise God. Are we here? Let's lift our hands and thank God for the glory. Let's thank God for the glory. It's brought us this far. There's a level of glory in our lives. We may not be able to see everything. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the glory. Thank you for the glory. I can't know what all that glory is about because I've not seen it before. But I has not seen. It has not heard. What God has prepared for those who love him. Say, Lord, what you have prepared that he has not seen, he has not heard, is not even been conceived by man. Whatever you have ahead of me, I surrender to take the journey with the captain of my salvation. Jesus, take me to the glory. Lead me on that my best will yet manifest. Thank you for working out your plan for my life to bring me to glory. And I want to give you all the glory because your glory in my life will make all the difference in my life. Thank you that I belong to you. Thank you that you have your eyes and your hands on me. I don't know it, but I know you know it. And I know what you are forming in me will become evident as my time goes on. I'm not looking toward death. Death is just a passage, like Jesus said. Tell yourself, death is no longer my end because death even died in the death of Jesus. So I'm not looking forward to the shame, the final shame of man, which is death. I'm looking, he said, and when my life is over here, you will welcome me into glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, can you open your eyes? When we are praying, the Lord said I should tell you something. While we are praying, chapter 4, verse 18, 2 Corinthians. Please mark this word. Chapter 4, verse 18, 2 Corinthians. While we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? For the things which are not seen are what? The Lord said, as we warn you, as it's making the glory manifest in your life, don't go by what you see. Don't let appearance fool you. Look deeper. You will not see the glory in your first response. You will not see the glory in your first reaction to issues, to problems. But he wants you to slow down and look at life beyond the surface. Are you hearing me? Look at your life beyond the surface. Emotional reactions, physical reactions, financial reactions. Can you just look below that? He said, why we don't look, the glory will only come. Give us verse 17 plus 18 in NLT. Give us an NLT. All right. Quickly. Verse 17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Next verse. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. How can you look at what you can see? Only by the eye of God that he has a glory for you. For the things which we see now will soon be gone. Today, if you eat $1 million, you start spending it. It's going. But the things we cannot see will what? Last forever. One more time. Can you lift up your hands and say, Father, the lasting things, help me to see them. The lasting things about my career, about my job, about my children, about my future, about my health. The lasting things, help me to see them. Help me not to focus on the temporary and the one that just fade away. The fading and the temporary. Help me not to focus on them. Help me to focus on the lasting. Help me to see below the surface. I don't want to be carried away by the law of technology and human power and human progress. Help me to see below that. Help me to see below my aging and my struggles and my disappointment. Help me to see below that. And help me to see the things that have been prepared ahead of me. Thank you for the glory that will manifest in your love and in your power. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's give our offering. That means whatever the devil is going to offer in the future, there's something in you that will take over and put you forward. Let's get that. Whatever will happen in the human future, Jesus was ready at every stage because somebody was working in him. And that same God is at work in you. And they will not stop. Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you. Hallelujah. Wow. Praise God. Can you see it on the screen? Thank you for NLT. And I'm certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ returns. See you on that day. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. It will begin to say some good work going on in your life. Look beyond the surface. Don't look at Nigeria. Don't look at your workplace. Don't look at your health even. Don't look at your body sometimes. You know, I was in my barber's place during the week. He told me, he said, Reverend, your gray hair has multiplied more. And I didn't have to give any excuse and embarrassment. I'm not ashamed. Glory is ahead of me. In fact, I was saying, the glory of the gray hair is the glory of, how do you say now? Oh, yeah. Old man, thank you. You know, so I'm hungry. Praise God. Praise God. God is good. Hallelujah. Can we get up on our feet? Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. For his mercies and your earth forever. Amen. For his mercies and forever. Amen. The glories shall be seen. And we'll work out more details in our life in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace and go home. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Hallelujah. Have a lovely, wonderful night. Thank you for coming.